Welcome to The Fall Escape. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you all for being with me. You can become a member of The Fall Escape. You can support us by becoming a member on the fallestate.tv right there on the YouTube channel or locals.com, and check out our merch. Punchy's Coffee. Good. Get Punchy's Coffee at jesseleepeterson.shop. I have with me Kyla Turner. She is a political commentator and social media influencer. Her channel is called Not So... What's that?
Erudite.
What?
Erudite.
Not So Erudite. What does that mean?
It means scholarly or learned.
Really?
Yeah. It's a joke.
Are you a scholar, so. You're a person?
Well, I'm not so. Erudite, so.
Oh, you're not.
Kind of tongue-in-cheek.
Welcome to the show.
I like science. Thank you for having me.
What's important to you?
That's a good question. My husband, my faith, and trying to conduct myself well.
Right on.
Probably like the top three. Yeah.
And when you say my husband, do you obey your husband?
Yeah, sure.
You obey him?
Yeah, a lot of the time.
Nice. And so are you a Christian?
I am.
And why are you a Christian?
I always say he keeps giving me a reason to believe. It's more like, how could I not be, is kind of more my statement.
Right on. You, do you believe that human beings are in a fallen state?
Like theologically?
Yeah.
Yeah, like we're in sin. Sure.
Yeah. Amazing, huh?
Can you? I mean, not amazing, kind of not good.
Can you overcome that?
Yeah. Sort of. Not on your own.
That's for sure. And for those who don't know that, why not on your own you can overcome it?
You can't overcome it. If we're being theological, right? As a Christian, all fall short of the glory of God. That's kind of like the premise, is like we all sin. We're all in sin. We all need Jesus. That's the reason why we're not supposed to judge each other, is because we all got planks. I think if you don't believe in God, I think that gets more complicated, which I'm empathetic to. But if we're talking just about Christians, sorry, you're not Jesus. And none of us are. That's kind of the point.
Yeah. The one thing that we're not supposed to do, well, number two primary things we should do, love God with all our heart, soul, and might, along with nothing else or no one else, and to love our neighbor, to love one another. And those are the two things that people don't do. They don't love God, a lot of Christians, and they judge one another. They don't love the neighbor.
True.
Have you noticed that?
I feel like, especially, it feels like increasingly there's a lot of hatred.
Yeah.
Yeah, in America.
And why is that? It is. It's out of control right now.
Yeah. Multiple factors. It depends on which lens you want to talk about why there's so much hatred. We could talk about social media and its impacts on radicalization and the way we view each other. We could talk about wealth disparity. We could talk about theology. I think the reasons why we all hate each other is probably complicated. And I think the worst part about hatred is we all feel justified in it. We're like, yeah, hatred's bad, but like mine's fair.
Yeah.
I think that's the problem with it, right?
Absolutely. That's amazing, huh?
Amazing.
And so do you have anger?
Sometimes.
And is it possible to be a child of God, a daughter of God or a son, and have anger?
I mean, Jesus had anger. So, yeah, if we're taking his model, you can have anger. There's sinful anger and there's righteous anger, right? Jesus took a whip of cords to the temple. Very angry, violent even. So there's a space for righteous anger. But there's also a lot of anger that I think happens that, of course, I'm guilty of too and whatnot. That's not righteous. It's petty. It's vengeful.
And so what's the difference between righteous anger and non-righteous anger?
That's tough. I think there's a lot of prayer that has to go into that. I think, for example, when people violate justice, I think a lot of righteous anger can emerge. And I think the problem is that what often happens is when righteous anger, you know about the killing of the Ukrainian girl, I imagine.
Yeah. Horrible story.
Yeah. Sorry?
That's an evil story. What happened to her was evil.
Yeah, it's tragic. And there's a lot of people righteously angry about that. Yeah. But the problem is that I think the news tries to take your kind of righteous anger, so to speak, and weaponize it for whatever agenda that they might have. And I think when it gets weaponized towards something that is no longer righteous or justice or towards what like is moral, that's, I think, where we start slipping into unrighteous anger.
Yeah. What's, you know, speaking of the story with the young girl from Ukraine, what's wrong with the blacks?
I don't know. Do you know the story of Stan Lee in Canada?
Not that I'm aware of right now. What is it?
So there was a man in Canada, this Asian man, who had a psychotic episode, and he beheaded and cannibalized another person in a Greyhound bus. This was, I think, 8 to 10 years ago now. So I don't know if this is racial necessarily, this specific situation. But there is an issue that we have to talk about, which is how we handle like mental health and crime.
And so, but in America, what's wrong with the blacks?
You tell me.
No, you're the expert. I'm asking you.
I've never espoused to be the expert on black people. It's definitely not my expertise.
Have you noticed, not all, but most blacks are very angry and violent today?
I don't know if I've found that they're all angry and violent. I think that there is higher rates of it within that population.
And why is that?
I think it's complicated, right? I think some of it is born in righteous anger, and some of it's been what we talked about, weaponized for unrighteous causes.
As a white lady, do you feel concerned? Because right now there's a genocide on white people, white women being knocked out, raped, and robbed on the streets, and no one cares about the white people. Does it concern you that there's a genocide on white people today?
I don't know if I would agree with that framing. I've not heard about the genocide on white people, I'm afraid.
You don't know about the knockouts and the killing and the rapists of white women and knocking out white men and all that?
No, I haven't.
You're not aware that that's going on?
I don't know if I've heard of it being called a white genocide. I don't know if I have seen any evidence of like specifically white targeting. I think most violence, for example, if you're blaming like black people, I think most violence to black people is also done by black people.
Well, that's happening too, but most violence done by whites, to whites, are done by blacks.
I don't know if that's true, if I'm being honest. I haven't prepped the stats on that, but I'd have to see if that's true.
I read that you are liberal.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Yes, I'm liberal.
And what does it mean to be a liberal? What does that mean to you?
So I believe in a couple of things, strong institutions, a social safety net, and some level of valuing for kind of like social unity under core principles.
And how is it possible to be a Christian and a liberal?
Very possible. I don't think your faith should be underneath your politics. I think if you think that these two things must be kind of hierarchically organized, that's probably an issue.
But liberals are like, they believe in socialism. They believe in free stuff, you know.
I don't know if Jesus was opposed to free stuff. I'm not a socialist. Not all liberals are the same, right? Like there's a lot of camps in the liberal space.
Oh, I see. And what type of liberal are you?
I'm not the socialist type, that's for sure. I'm like a standard democracy capitalist lib. Yeah, so the leftist would say a liberal, a lib.
So you wouldn't fit. Are you a feminist?
Yeah, not one that many own, but yes.
So are you a liberal feminist?
Am I a liberal feminist? Probably not. Because that's like do you know much about like the feminist civil war that's going on right now?
Not a lot, but kind of. They hate men and they want to take over.
I do. I think they all agree at least that we don't like Peterson. But yeah, there's a lot of factions. Some of them have a whole island. Like Britain is like the feminist space that doesn't like trans people. Yeah, there's a lot of infighting amongst feminists. So liberal feminist is like a specific label. Uh-huh. I'm not a liberal feminist in like the feminist philosophical framework.
Are you a millennial or a Z?
I'm like the tail end of a millennial. I'm 31.
Oh, okay. And yeah. So how does your parents feel about you being a Christian and a liberal?
They're okay with it. Yeah. They're conservative, but they, I think in Canada, especially our politics are very, our faith is first and our politics are second. So, we disagree on certain things, especially like politically, but it doesn't change like the unifying front that we like believe in the same God and the same faith and that we, worship the same God.
So. Oh, I see. And they know that you're a feminist liberal?
They do, yeah.
And do they complain about that or they accept it?
No, it's more like teasing and jokes. In Canada, politics is very different in Canada than America. Politics is like, in America, it's like your tribe. Whereas politics in Canada, we have like 7 parties federally, so it's pretty normal to vote. Like municipally, you vote NDP, and provincially, you might vote conservative, and federally, you might vote like liberal. So we're just a lot less like diehard on our parties, and I think that really changes the way that we experience politics compared to like Americans, where it seems like politics is very identity tied for Americans.
And how did you get so involved in politics, and why?
That's a good question. I think I've just always been very interested in learning. I love philosophy, and Aristotle is my favorite philosopher. And so he has this rule that politics is like one of the greatest forms of philosophizing. So I think I very naturally moved into politics because of my interest in philosophy. Yeah.
Would you ever run for office?
In America? Yeah. I can't, so definitely
not. Oh, you can in America, right.
Yeah.
Would you ever be interested in doing something like that? Even though
probably
you can't
not.
Do it in Canada, in America?
Probably not, no.
You have kids?
No.
Oh, okay. I noticed that ever since women have been allowed to vote, that everything has been screwed up and it's getting worse. Was it a mistake to allow women the right to vote?
No, I think it's like the morally correct position. I think it is part of the American project. Agency is really, really important, both in our faith. Choice is salvation. And in the American project. So, no, giving women the choice is good.
So was it a good thing or a bad thing to allow them to vote, though?
It's good. It's moral.
I'm sorry?
It's the good thing. It's the moral thing to do.
But why is it the moral thing? And when they were not, or a good thing, when they were not allowed to vote, America was amazing. But once they allowed them to vote, they want free health care. They want free babysitting services. They want us to pay for all that. They want to save the blacks, and they want daycare. They want us to pay for everything, and they always vote the wrong way because of their emotional and mental capability. They tend to be like unable to make the right decision because their psyche is not logical. And as a result, the country is going to hell in a handbasket. Do you agree with that?
No. Do you think that America in 1880 is bigger, stronger, and more American than America in like the 1980s?
I think America was better before women had the right to vote than it is
today. So 1880 America was better, even though Britain was a superpower.
It still was better than it is today. Because now that, if you notice, now that the women are allowed to vote, and there's, according to reports, more women than men, socialism is coming about. Men jobs are being taken away from them. Men children are being taken away from them because, of course, are on the side of the woman. And everything is insane because even cars are soft and they don't make noise anymore because the women complain about the noise. They
it's probably more old people, but by suspicion. It's usually old people that make noise complaints or people with young children versus women.
No, it's a woman's thing. Men love loud cars.
Why did God give us the right to choose? Why does he make salvation a choice?
God didn't give you the right to choose.
He did. He put the tree of evil. He made choice right from Adam and Eve.
Right. But that was only because he wanted man to know that he's not going to force you to love him. You have to love him or not love him. But what does that have to do with women voting?
Well, if God views choice as more important than sin, right? Because if he hadn't put the tree of good and evil in the garden, that we wouldn't have ever had a choice to do sin. And so if God valued our ability to choose, even though he knew we would choose wrong, who are we in the American Project to say, okay, well, we know better, and actually we're going to take away people's right to choose because we're actually better than God in this way. It seems very directional with salvation, that agency is like the most important thing, because if you don't have choice, then it means that you are simply a slave to doing good things by necessity. And that isn't a good world at all. The person who can look at evil and look at good and choose good anyways, that's noble. And we need to God makes a space for us to do that, despite the fact that even with God, we choose wrong every single day.
But God only gave us one choice, and that choice is to come out of hell if you want. You can live in your misery all of your life, or you can realize, you know what, I'm tired of living in hell. And emotional people are living in hell, right? And so you decide, you know what, God, I'm tired of living this way. Mm-hmm. Help me out of it. That's the only choice you have. Or he'll just leave you in your hell. You have no other choice.
Well, I feel like even once you choose God, Christians still do sin, right?
But they don't choose God. But what does that have to do with women voting, though? That doesn't make sense.
Well, it's about choice, right? The reason why I think women voting is good is because it's giving them more choice.
But women don't make choices. They don't know how to make the right choice because they're so emotional.
So women can't sin?
Women are so emotional and neurological, they can't make the right choice. Have you noticed that?
But I guess I'm asking, if women can't choose, then they can't sin. They're just kind of like,
I don't know
robots.
What that had to do with that.
Sin is about choice, right? Like if I steal cookies and my parents go, Kyla, did you steal cookies? And I go, no, I've made a choice to lie to my parents in that moment, right?
No.
No?
The only choice a human being has is to whether they want to come out of their misery. If you realize, you know what, I don't like living this way, I'm unhappy, I'm miserable, or I have fear and all that, I want out. That's the only choice you make. You never make a choice in your whole life after that. And you're not making a choice before that.
So is God making you sin when you are a Christian who acts in sin? Christian sin, right?
What does that have to do with women voting? I'm trying to understand that.
Choice, right? Like God, you said God only allows you to have one choice. And it's like, well, no, God, even when you choose him, he actually asks you to choose him every single day, bear your cross every day, right? And so God allows us to choose constantly. He's constantly allowing us the space to choose to sin or not to sin, even as Christians, every single day. That's why we need him every day. We don't need God once in our life. We need God every single day because we have the choice to do noble or ignoble. And if God values choice to that level, we probably should too.
So I guess you're not going to answer the question about what is that. Since women are so illogical, emotionally and mentally, they can't make the right decision. Why would they have a be given the right to vote when they don't know what they want?
I guess I'm saying to you, I think women can make choices. I think women can sin. I think women make choices all the time. You might not agree with the choices that they make, but for us to call their actions wrong, we either have to say, well, they're just meat robots that can't help but doing evil things, or we have to say women are choosing bad things. But if they're meat robots, then they're more like children. We don't get mad at children for like doing the wrong thing when they don't know better. We like teach them better. But I don't view women that way. I think women are adults that can make choices. They can make bad choices and good choices. I just believe in a system where we allow them to make those choices, including allowing them to make bad choices, because I think that's what's modeled for us in our faith.
Do you agree with me that the God above is the man's God, and the God below, Satan, is the woman's God?
No, I think God made all of us in his image.
That's not what I asked her. I know he made all of us, but do you agree? Did the woman come from God or from the man?
She came from his rib, but I don't think Adam made her, right? Eve was made by God, and he put his breath into her.
But did she come from the man, or did she come from God?
Genuinely, I think God created humanity. So
that's not what I'm asking, though. But did the woman come from the man or from God?
She came from God.
No. Did the man come from God or the woman?
God.
I'm sorry?
Man comes from God, too.
And the woman came from who? Whom?
God.
No.
She came from his rib. Adam didn't make Eve. Like, I don't think men are not God.
But did God take the woman out of the man and created her?
God did, yeah.
And so she created his image.
In God's image, yeah.
No, the man's image.
Well, we have breasts, we're literally not made in his image.
The man is created in God's image, and the woman is created in the man image. Am I right?
Well, I feel like men and women are really different, right?
They are. But
so if we were made in man's image, then he did a bad job of making us look like men. We're pretty different. I feel like we are made by God, and God made us different.
But you may feel that way, but did the woman come from man, or did she come from God?
God.
No.
I don't know what to tell you. I don't think that human beings, even man, is creating life in the way that God is. God breathed
God
life.
God gave the life to the woman. God took the woman from the man's body and created her. But he created the woman in the man's image and created God in his image.
Then why do they look so different?
They don't.
If she's made men and women look very different.
If you look, women are created like men. They have breath like a man. They just made to have babies, so they get milk, all those kind of things that men don't get. But
they're
the
really
woman
different.
Is created in the man's image, and he is created in God's image. So is Satan, did you know that the woman, God is the God from below, and the man's God is the God from above?
I don't think that that's a Christian belief, no.
And why not?
I would say that that's heretical.
It's taught in the Bible why it's not a Christian belief.
Because women and man are both made by God. God calls both women and men to act in his image, and both of them can achieve salvation by faith in him. This is obvious by women being Deborah, women being used by God multiple times, Deborah the priestess. Like, there's multiple instances
in which
God is... But
Deborah was led by men. She didn't make her own decision. That men instructed her on the decision to make. But let me ask this about...
That's not true.
About the
That's
woman
not true about
being...
Deborah.
About the woman, God. Remember in the Bible, in the Word, where once upon a time, Adam had a relationship with God, and then his wife Eve loved him, had a relationship with him, and all three were one, because the woman believed in the husband who believed in the father. You know about that, right?
It sounds like when you read the Bible, God was engaging with both of them. When they were found in sin, both were ashamed of their nudity. It seems like God had a relationship with both of these individuals. I don't think God engaged with Adam.
He did, but it was through the husband that he had the relationship with the wife.
Because I don't know. I don't think that there's biblical evidence.
The husband, Adam, and the father were one. And when they married, the woman became one with the husband, which was one with God. And then one day, the woman had to go shopping. And she went to the market, and she ran up on Satan. And Satan had already tried to tempt Adam, and Adam said, no, get out of here, not going to listen to the lie.
I don't think there's any biblical evidence that Adam
the woman,
had been tempted first.
The woman went to the market, and she met Satan there. And Satan was like, hey, Eve, how are you? She's like, fine. And he asked her, you still with that man? And she like, yeah, I am. I love my husband. And he like, you could be your own woman. You don't have to listen to that man. She's like, no. Long story short, she went home, made dinner. They were having dinner, she and Adam. And she like, I saw Satan today at the market. And Adam like, stay away from him. He's trying to deceive you. Don't believe the lie. And she's like, okay. And then she went back a second time, another time. And she ran into Satan again. And Satan said to her, Adam, you still with that woman? I mean, Eve, you still with that man? Like, yeah, don't listen to him.
Is this all in like the Mormon book? I don't think I've read this in the Bible.
Like, don't
but maybe it's in the Mormon Bible.
He listened to his father. He's not even his own man. You can be your own woman. You can take your bra off. You can do what you want. And she believed that lie. And the moment she believed that lie, she no longer believed her husband. They became separated. And Satan became her God. And then Adam couldn't believe it. Like, what have you done, Satan? Eve, you listened to the devil. Now you can't believe the truth. You don't obey me anymore or anything. And then Eve became very puffed up because now she know about evil and good. So she finally convinced Adam, you don't have to listen to your father. You could be like me. You can know good and evil. You can judge. You can play God and everything. And Adam listened to the woman, and then the woman became his God because he could no longer believe the father. And father like, what have you done, Adam? He's like, well, you gave me that woman. I listened to that woman. And he said, well, because you listened to the woman, you're going to suffer. And so every time the man listens to his woman today, he suffers. And then the evil that come through to the children come through the woman because her nature, until she's truly born again of God, her nature is evil because she has no love, and it's passed on to the children generation after generation after generation. Have you noticed that as a Christian?
Maybe there's a new version of the Message that I haven't read, but I don't remember
that.
Well,
read Genesis.
If I'm being honest with you.
Yeah, I understand that. Read Genesis. It's in the fall of Adam and Eve.
I don't remember anything about dinner.
You will see where Satan is the woman's God and the God above. Well, until that man overcome the woman is his God. That's why men don't know what to do with women, because they got to overcome mama. Forgive their mother so they can come back to their father. So that's why I read that so you see, since you're a Christian, you will see why Satan is the woman's God and evil come through the woman.
I think if any notable actual religious leader had come to that conclusion, I might be open to you. I don't think anyone theologically agrees with you. But again, maybe I haven't read the new version. I don't know if this is like the Mormon Bible
version.
Or the
it's
Message
not,
or
it's
something.
It's not the new version. It's in the King James Bible.
This is not
period.
Genesis, right?
What did you say, notable?
Theologian?
What's a notable theologian?
Somebody that's respected typically in the field and study of like theology. They've probably got like a PhD in theology. They've probably gone to seminary. The Catholics have a system by which they kind of develop a theological kind of like seminary system. Protestants have their own system, but kind of somebody who rises through the ranks in there
but
to
those
study
people
the Bible.
Don't, those people wouldn't know God if he had lunch with them. They're intellectually separated from God, and an intellectual person cannot know God. They can know about him, they can read about him and talk about him, but they can't know him.
So pastors don't know God?
No.
Oh.
Have you noticed that?
I disagree.
So, why?
I think there's a lot of really godly people in this world. I think there's a lot of good thinkers that God tries to speak through. And,
really?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Were women created to lead or to follow?
I think originally to be like kind of like a support character in the relationship. I think that that's like shifted over time, though.
So were they created to lead or to follow?
I think I said they were probably created originally to be, I think he said complementary to Adam, right? Adam can't bear children. Men tend to be a little bit more aggressive, a little bit less good at building relationships and community. So I think Eve was built to complement all of the weaknesses that man has.
And so were women created to lead or to follow?
Neither.
I'm sorry?
Neither.
Neither. And is it...
Follow in the same way that I think Adam was built to follow, I suppose.
Follow who?
God.
And the woman is supposed to follow the
God.
Man.
God. Right. If a woman is putting man over God, that's a problem. God has to come first for every single person.
But a woman that has put God first will naturally obey and follow her husband without any contest.
I think there's a lot of good reasons for why women engage in submission with their husbands, yeah.
Speaking of women leaders, have you noticed that ever since they put women in leadership role in our government, in churches, even in the home when the father's not there to guide her how to raise the children, have you noticed that everything get worse? Because the man is the light of the family. If you're not there, the woman can't find her way in raising children or anything. Have you noticed in America and around the world, when they allow women to be in a leadership role, things only get worse?
I haven't found that to be consistently true, but I think in general, women are not taught and reared in general to be efficient in leadership. I think in general, we teach boys how to lead in a way that we often don't teach young girls to lead. So in many ways, I think women can be weaker leaders, but there are still good female leaders.
But men are not taught to be leaders. It's natural. It's in the DNA. It comes naturally. You have to teach a woman how to be a leader, but because she wasn't created to be a leader, it doesn't work. She tried to make herself be something she can't be. Have you noticed that?
So you think that Joe Biden was a good leader?
Who?
As a man? Joe Biden.
Joe Biden?
Yeah, was
Joe
he a
Biden
leader?
Didn't even know he was president.
Man. Well, he's a man. If they're
But he didn't have the right mindset, so that's different.
Oh, okay. So we just pick Obama then.
How about the Great White Hope?
I don't know what that is.
You don't know the Great White Hope?
Nope.
They call him King.
Are we talking about Trump? All I'm guessing is we're talking about Trump.
They say, what manner of man is this? The wind at sea obeys him. They call him Daddy. Would you say he's and I call him the Great White Hope. Donald Trump, would you say he's a good leader?
No, I think
No?
No. Yeah, I'll say no. I'll end at no.
And why no?
I think the fact that basically none of his staff from his first term wanted to come back and work with him indicates that his staff distrusted him, disliked him, didn't respect him. There's something going on that made none of them willing to come back.
So Donald Trump is there now. He's been there for a minute. Do you think he's a good leader?
No.
And why not?
I think that he's leading the country towards greater levels of disunity.
Of what?
Of disunity.
Meaning what? What do you mean by that?
Meaning that a divided America is a broken America.
When has America been, in the last 70 years, where has America been one, united?
Under Jimmy Carter, there was
no,
some
it wasn't.
Stuff.
Uh-uh.
Under Reagan, there was a lot of unity
not
under
true.
Reagan. There was a fair bit of unity that emerged under Bush for a while. We don't achieve perfect unity.
That's not true.
It is true. Under Bush, initially, there was a lot of uniting under him. The issue is that the Iraq War became a major issue in his presidency, and he had a lot of fracturing, not just from the left, from the right as well, right? So there has been great bouts of unity, and I think it's good when the country unites.
What is Donald Trump doing? But the country has not been united in a long time. Good and evil would never unite at all.
Sure, and they shouldn't. I just think that most people are a mixture of both things, and a good leader aims to pull out the good that exists.
And you don't see Donald Trump doing that?
He's pretty antagonistic with anybody who opposes him, including his own teams, right?
No,
he wants to fire
that's
Jerome
not
Powell.
Right.
Well, he wants to fire Jerome Powell, who he hired.
That guy's against Trump. He should get rid of his enemies.
Why?
Would you keep your enemy in your home?
I would certainly keep them potentially. People who counter my opinion, I would absolutely keep on my business board, for example. Otherwise, your enemies and people who oppose you are some of the most gifted at seeing your flaws.
Not true.
And pointing out areas that you need. Of course
not
it
true.
Is true.
No.
I believe in having, in not just talking to people of opposite viewpoints, but seeing the strengths of people with the opposite view. Do you disagree that you shouldn't talk to people of different mindsets?
No, you should talk to all. I talk to anyone all the time, anytime. But yeah. I wouldn't have, if I know that they're my enemy and I'm working to make things better, ain't no way I keep my enemy in my company. That doesn't make sense. Why does that make sense to you?
I think if everyone who disagrees with you becomes an enemy, you're probably the common denominator.
See, that's why you can't have women as leadership. They're emotional. But let me ask.
It's emotional about that.
They can't make the right decision. You would keep your enemy in your company. And that makes sense to you.
I would keep my opposition.
And that makes sense to you to keep your enemy in your company.
I would definitely, there's an old war law that you definitely want to keep your enemy closest because you want to know what they're up to. But
I
don't think Jerome Powell.
To keep your enemy in your company.
Well, the issue is you're framing anyone who disagrees with you as your enemy. I don't think somebody who disagrees with me is my enemy.
We're talking about this one particular guy. Does it make sense to keep your enemy in your company?
Well, it's the chief of your labor statistics. It seems like everyone.
You're not answering that question.
Sorry, what was your question?
This guy is Trump's enemy.
Jerome Powell?
And knowing that he is his enemy, should he keep him in his administration?
Why is Jerome Powell his enemy?
Would you call him friend?
At least ally. Yeah, I think Jerome Powell loves America and wants to see it thrive. I think that his economic leadership, I mean, he's part of the major reason that we pulled out of COVID economically so strong. Jerome Powell believes in America. He's
amazing.
Deeply American. I mean, Trump picked him.
That's
right?
Amazing. So
do
let
you think
me
that
ask,
Trump picked wrong? Like Trump was a fool when he picked Jerome Powell?
Let me ask, do you agree with Trump that he shut the borders down and now the illegals can't come in and he's shipping all the illegals back to wherever they came from? You agree with that?
Is there any way are you going to answer my questions or is this only one way? If it is only one way, that's okay. I just want to know.
Do you agree with Trump that he shut down the borders and shipping the illegals back?
I think there was an immigration crisis, and I think the left laid in a big fat hammock and neglecting it. So immigration reform was necessary. I definitely don't agree with abandoning due process.
Do you agree with the great white hope that he closed the borders down and he's shipping illegals back to wherever they came from? He's out there collecting them and shipping them back. Do you agree with that?
The way that he's doing it, by violating due process, no.
Illegals don't have due process in America. How can you be a criminal in this country and have due process? That doesn't even make sense.
Do you think that if
due process is for citizens of the country?
Nope. If I get murdered in America, even if I'm a non-American citizen, I still get due process, right? My family still can call the police. They'll still investigate who murdered me, even if my murderer was an American citizen, right? This is obviously true.
Are you happy with the great white hope that he's sending? He shut the borders down and sent the illegals back to their country?
I'm okay with the borders being shut down. I disagree with removing due process.
And why?
I think due process is a miracle of the American project. I think it was a rarity. It's what America led on in many ways, America and the Western development. It's incredible.
When did an illegal alien that entered into our country illegally, breaking the law, get due process?
Because that's how the law works. And I believe
that doesn't work
American
that way
law.
For criminals, illegals.
Yes, it does.
No,
criminals
it
in America also get due process,
no.
Right? You get assumed.
He can
not
put them on a plane and ship them back. He can pick them up at Costco today, put them on a plane today, and ship them right back where they came from, and he would be right.
I think that's a violation of the American Constitution.
It's not a violation for illegal alien. What the?
As a Canadian, If I get
see, this is why women shouldn't be voting. They're too emotional.
What's emotional about this?
You're not making logical decisions.
How is that not logical?
You think
what's
due process
what's
for illegal
due process?
You think due process for criminals in our country that came here illegally deserve
yes, criminals get due process.
Under the Constitution, they deserve due process.
So if I, as a Canadian national, am murdered in America, do I get due process for justice for my murder?
That's not the subject that I'm asking about. I'm asking about illegal aliens that
I'm
come.
Asking about
are you
foreign,
here illegally?
Yeah. Yeah, you, foreign, even illegal foreign
are you here illegally?
No, I am not here illegally.
So why would you apply that to you?
Because you're saying that non-citizens don't get due process. Or you're saying that criminals don't get due process. But both criminals and non-nationals get due process.
See, this is why women should not be running.
Well, I think I'm being more logical than you right now, right? You're saying illegal and non-citizens. Illegal, so criminal action, gets due process in America, and non-citizens get due process in America. So illegal non-citizens also, presumably, by this is actually analytical philosophy, they also get due process necessarily.
So you say that the Constitution applies to people who break into our country illegally?
Typically, yeah. For certain, not all of the Constitution applies to them, but things like due process does.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
Okay, see? Let me ask. I've said to, and I know a whole bunch of guys around the world who have married and they wanted a family. So a lot of them end up marrying women who are educated. And I suggest to them they should not marry an educated woman because she doesn't make for a good wife and a mother. And every time, it never fails, every time they marry an educated woman, the marriage goes to hell in a handbasket. Do you agree with me that a man should not marry an educated woman because she doesn't make for a good wife and mother?
I think educated marriages last longer and have healthier children on average.
No,
so no.
Not at all. That's not true.
That's just what the data shows.
That's not true. Every man, that if he stayed with her, he become a beta man. She made him the woman, and she go out and bring home the bacon.
Well, I would say that that's a failing on both of those partners, right? As a woman, you shouldn't be demasculating your partner. And as a man, you also should not be allowing your wife to demasculate you. So if a demasculation is happening, I think that that's
bad. But a woman that's been educated, she thinks she's equal to a man and that she's compete with him. She think that she would rather go to work and get her ego strokes rather than stay at home and raise her children. And if she married a beta man, he'll stay home and he become the wife and she become the husband.
I don't know what to tell you. The evidence shows when you look at aggregate, just like polls of demographics, women that achieve higher levels of education have longer lasting marriages and their children
no, they don't.
Are typically, yeah, they do.
Women with education divorce way quicker than non-women with no education. But let me ask.
In general, people impoverished tend to often be a little bit more impulsive. Their relationships fail at a significantly higher rate. They also have a much lower marriage, right? People who are less educated typically don't get married, are having children out of wedlock, and therefore can't even qualify in the marriage statistics because they were never married in the first place. They just have like multiple children with different men. That's typically what we're seeing with like the lesser educated. And again, there's systems
true.
Why all this is happening.
That's
but
so
educated
not, where
women
are you making up all this stuff?
You can just Google it.
Oh, why are you making this up?
You can just Google it.
Google it? What the?
Yeah, just look it up. Yeah, go look at the stats.
So let me ask, because of time,
sure.
What has Donald Trump done or doing that you think is amazing?
I think his child tax credit was really good. I loved the child tax credit. I think in general, making it more affordable to have children, very good thing to do.
Are you going to have children?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you support abortion?
I support the legal access to abortion. It's probably the wrong thing to do on average. It's probably more noble to not, but I think the societal impacts of not allowing abortions is horrific.
So you do support abortion?
Legally.
I didn't ask that. If you support it legally, that means you support it. What's the difference?
My faith is not the same thing as my politics.
till your faith tell you you can support a killing a child in the womb legally, but if a woman decided to go in the alleyway and kill the child, you don't support that.
Well, I would say that when she does it legally, it's probably the worst choice, and it would be more good to keep it, but I would like her to have the legal access to make that choice.
So you support the woman killing the baby, the man's baby in the womb legally, right?
And her baby.
Right?
To be fair.
It's not her baby, it's his baby.
Well, it's both. She's carrying it. It's probably her genes, hopefully.
So you support the woman killing the baby legally, but not going doing it in the alleyway or illegally?
What are your illegal abortions?
You said you support the law as it's legal. You okay with her killing the baby in the womb?
Yes, I support women's access to abortion.
So you do support abortion then?
No, I think it's typically the worst choice. But overall, I think it's a choice that women should have access to.
That's amazing. Did you know that 70% of divorces are being filed by women?
Mm-hmm. Now we like stats, hey?
And so
we like to pick and choose when we like stats, don't we?
But
not good.
But so how more marriage and working better with educated women is 70% of them are filing for abortion? For divorce.
First of all, typically, uneducated women are not getting married. They tend to common law for a long time and then separate. So they're not getting included in the stats.
We're talking about the ones that are getting married.
Right. Well, you're talking about educated versus uneducated. And I'm saying one of the issues in the uneducated category is they're getting married less often. They common law more often.
Well, we're talking about the ones that are getting married and divorcing.
Yep. And so educated, I think it's not just educated women. I think women overall initiate divorce.
But this stat is,
report
says 70% of divorces are being filed by women.
If you don't trust my stats, how am I supposed to trust yours?
Do you trust that?
I don't know. Where's your source from?
The sources.
Because you didn't trust mine. So it's going to be tough to, if you get to use stats and I take it for granted, but when I use stats, you just say, that's made up. Now we're at an impasse.
But you just throwing out
stuff.
You get
to use something I don't.
You're just saying stuff that you don't even know what you're talking about.
You could just be saying stuff. You could have just typed up stuff on ChatGPT. It could have just made something up. I'm willing to grant it. The issue is I'm looking for you to grant me stats in return, right?
Okay, I'll let you ask some.
Okay.
Do you believe racism exists?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
And what's your proof?
I think, for example, black men tend to go to jail for longer for the same crimes that white men will get reduced sentences for, is a good example.
And why is that?
I would say prejudice. It's very odd to say, if you are black, again, we can hold it. If you want stats, since you said you'll grant me stats, When we look at actually forensic recidivism data, even when you hold, for example, number of priors between white men and black men the same, black men on average still get sentenced to a significantly longer time. In the same way that if you hold the men's statistics consistent with priors to a woman's, even if a woman has 14, you know, reference to the Ukrainian, 14 priors and the man has 14 priors, she'll get a much lesser sentence typically. I just think that there's prejudice in the way that we stereotype people.
So do you think that if the black man that committed the crime was pay a lawyer to represent him, maybe he wouldn't go to jail as much as he would dies by getting a free lawyer from the courts? Whereas white men tend to pay for their lawyers, so they're going to get the best lawyer. When they have to go to court, ask for a free lawyer, that lawyer is, busy with so many cases, he doesn't really have time to be trying to figure it out. If black men were able to pay for their own lawyers in the way that white men are able to do, do you think it would be even play then?
I suspect no.
Why?
I'm pretty sure the data has already looked into this, that even when you look at economic status, so essentially people's economic access to better lawyers, even then, the black men will get sentenced longer specifically. That's not true. So they often will get off of it about the same rate because they have a similar quality lawyer, but the judge gets to decide the length, right? And oftentimes judges will just opt for longer, more steeper sentences for black men than for white men.
Not true. When black men pay for their own lawyers, that lawyer is on their case in the same way a white man, when he pays for his lawyer, they're going to get the same thing most of the time.
I'm not sure if that's true.
No, it is true.
I don't know if I believe you.
But do you have any proof that racism exists?
I just gave you one. Yeah.
No, that's not proof.
Well, we just talked about how it is, and I'm not granting you making up facts either, right? So we're at an impasse.
Amazing. Do you have any other proof that racism exists?
Yeah, sure. I think an important question to you, for example, why is it the case that black men typically can't afford a more expensive lawyer when a white man can?
Because they believe the lie that they can't make it because they're black. And they think white people are superior to them, so they're begging, blaming, and trying to get something free rather than earning their own way.
Do you think that black people just try less hard?
What?
Do you think black people just try less hard than white people to make money?
No, they need to get out and just do it. They don't need to try any harder or less, but just do it.
So black people just don't, like, go to jobs or, like, try to make money?
Some do, most don't, because they've heard that they can get it free. All they have to do is cry racism, and they can get it free. Do you love white people?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't hear you.
Yeah, yes, I like white people.
Do you love white people?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. You are a Christian, right?
Yep.
God said that our battle is not physical, it's spiritual. That we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spirits and wickedness in high places, evil. Why do you call it racism rather than calling it good or evil? Why do you call it what the world call it rather than calling it what God's called it?
Mostly for specificity. I think if we called just everything that's bad, evil, and everything that's good, good, and those were the only words we had, we'd never know what we're talking about.
Why is that?
Then I just have to be like, well, black people have bad things happen to them. And you'd be like, what kind of bad things? And I'd be like, the baddest of bad things, right? Just for specificity. I think racism is immoral, obviously, but I call it racism for specificity.
Well, why don't you call it what God called it rather than calling it something else? Are you saying that God didn't know what he was doing when he called it good versus evil?
No, I. These are not separate things, right? Something can be good and evil and also something else, right?
No.
Murder.
No, well, either murder, good or evil, not nothing else.
Do you think murder is good or evil?
You're not answering the question. Why do you call it something other than what God calls it?
I'm answering your question with a question back to kind of elucidate my point. Because I did answer it. I just don't think maybe you're understanding me.
I said that God does not call it racism. He called it good versus evil. And as a daughter of God, why don't you call it what your father called it? Why do you call it what the children of Satan calls it?
For the same reason that I call murder, murder instead of just evil, for specificity.
Really?
Yeah. So we know what we're talking about.
So
right?
Is murder done due to racism or evil?
Sometimes evil, and then sometimes it's for racism, sometimes it's for greed, and sometimes it's for vengeance. There's all sorts of evils that contribute to murder.
But it's always evil that's influencing it, right?
Sure, yeah. I agree that racism's evil, though. I've already said that.
But how can it be evil when it doesn't exist? It's just a word made up by evil people.
I guess you and I disagree about whether it exists or not. So but if you don't think it exists, then it doesn't matter. And if I think it exists, I would label it evil.
Do you have white privilege?
I'm sure people would say that I do, yeah.
What do you say?
Probably in some areas. There's definitely some things where if I show up next to my husband, my husband's a quarter Nigerian, it smooths
You married to a black man?
I am, yeah.
You married to, well, no wonder.
That's how you know I'm so cool, right?
Well, that is, That explains it all.
Sorry?
That makes sense now why you think the way you think.
Does it?
Yeah. But so
am I being submissive to the wrong type of man? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that. I didn't know you were married to a black man, but it makes sense now that you would think that way.
He's conservative.
No, it makes sense that you would think that way.
But he's conservative.
But it makes sense that you, I'm talking about you. I didn't say him. I don't know anything about him. So I haven't spoken to him, so I don't know him.
But if I'm submissive to my husband and I like take a lot of like leadership and opinion from him and he's conservative, why would it, I guess, what does it mean when you say it makes sense the way I think, right?
Because you're married to a black man.
What does that mean?
That's why you think the way you think and you believe racism as is and all that mess. But that's fine. I'm not.
That's probably
I'm okay
not why.
It,
to be
but
fair,
it makes sense
he probably
now.
Disagrees on the extent to which I would say it exists. Right?
Okay.
He's conservative. He's conservative. Thank you.
So listen, I got to put you on the hot seat. I need you to answer these questions as quickly as possible.
Okay.
Oh, let me ask. Do you have anger?
I think I already said we talked about this. Yes.
You do have anger.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
We all have anger.
What would happen if you dropped your anger and never got angry again about anything?
I would be better in most ways and probably ungodly in some ways.
Oh, you would be ungodly in some way without anger?
Well, we talked about this, right? Like Christ, Jesus himself had righteous anger.
Oh, yeah, you said that. You're right. So listen, I got to put you on the hot seat.
Okay.
I need you to answer these as quickly as possible.
The hot seat.
What is love?
Ooh. Giving people things that you don't want to give them, they don't want to receive, and accepting it anyways.
Is America the best country on this side of heaven?
Yes.
Do we need more white babies?
Yeah, sure.
What is a man?
A XY chromosome having hair, breast lacking, bearded human being who probably sits with his legs spread and likes prototypically sports, but not always. You're a man.
Did you take the jab?
Yeah. Yeah, I was a first responder. I worked in addiction, so.
True or false? When she's crying, she's lying. True or false?
False.
I'm sorry?
False.
Do you keep hot sauce in your purse?
In my purse?
Yeah.
No.
Which would you rather have as president? Justin Trudeau? Or Donald Trump?
Ooh, you don't like me, do you?
I love you. Really, I love you.
I don't know.
No,
neither.
I
don't like either.
So which would you prefer if you had to make a choice?
Oh, they're both so corrupt. Gun to my head, probably Trudeau.
Amazing.
Amazing.
You want to
but again, that's
that.
Gun to my head, okay? I'm not opting for either.
Right on.
I might take the bullet.
Is it ever okay to call a woman fat?
Yeah. It depends on like how you're doing it, but yeah.
Which is worse, abortion or slavery?
Slavery.
Is the earth flat or round?
It's round.
Did you have fun?
I did. Thank you so much for having me.
It was an honor to have you. I enjoyed talking to you, really.
Thank you. Good. And I enjoyed talking to you.
Tell the people how they can get your YouTube channel, your whatever you want to put out there.
Sure. I'm Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, everywhere. Not so erudite. That's spelled E-R-U-D-I-T-E. Can check me out. I've got nuanced liberal takes with a little bit of radicalism wherever you need it.
Amazing. Well, thanks for coming on. And thank you all for tuning in. I absolutely appreciate it. Don't forget to like, follow, ring the bell. Support us by becoming members of the FallenState.tv right there on YouTube channel or locals.com, JesseLeePeterson.locals.com. And check out my coffee. I have the best coffee on this side of heaven. Good. So check it out on JesseLeePeterson.shop. Ring the bell. Do all that stuff. If you'd like to see someone else on the show, contact my producer, producer@thefallenstate.tv. Thank you again for coming on. I totally appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me on. Maybe if I come on again, we can talk about something other than just women.
Yeah, I would love to have you back.
Okay, awesome.
Really, I really would. And I wish you well.
I'm wishing you the best.
Thank you.
God bless.
You too. Thank you.